Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. My name is Lamo. In a moment, Geshe-la and Trikula will be coming in. This morning, Geshe-la spoke, taught about different types of meditation. He didn't return to the mind training text this time, but he explained about many wonderful meditation practices and other teachings. So if you've never been here before, when you Geshe-la enters through that door, if you'll please stand out of respect for him and his, and the teachings. Geshe-la has asked me to remind people to circumambulate the stupa and spin the prayer wheels for great purification practice and to accumulate merit. He spoke a little bit about the Mani Mantra, which you see carved on the side, or that I guess that's painted on this prayer wheel, this wooden prayer wheel that's on his desk. And also to, so when you spin a prayer wheel, you get the merit of having recited all the mantras that are in here. And so we are in the period of time called Sakadawa, which is the month when the lunar months on the Tibetan calendar that it symbolizes Shakyamuni Buddha's birth, his the time he attained enlightenment, and in parinirvana. And this on June 2nd is exactly the halfway point, and it ends on June the 16th. And during that time, our merit and also our non-virtuous actions are multiplied by a million. So whatever practice you do is very important. It's so when you just circumambulate one time, it's like you did it a million times. So you get that much merit. So, you know, it's a good idea to try to do some prayers and things. And I think after this, we're going to have I don't know if I'm supposed to announce this or anything, but I think afterwards there's going to be a celebration or getting send-off for Sarah Brooks, who's been our spiritual coordinator for many years. And so, and I think it's like a little dessert reception for her. So we may be ending a little bit early, I'm not sure. I believe this is her very last working day, and she's going to New Zealand. So we're very pleased about that. We wish her very well, but we're not happy that she's leaving, but we wish her very well. Okay, if you please take the gold prayer book. If you're sitting at the pew, it's at the end of the pew, towards the door. And turn to page 183. 183. And between the two lines, you see Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra. So let's recite that three times. Taya ta om mune mune maha munaye soha. Taya ta om mune mune maha. Now turn to page 34, and then there's, you see in the middle of four immeasurables. So let's just read that once. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings provide equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now turn the page to 37. And toward the bottom you see the four immeasurables chanting version. So let's chant that while we're thinking about the four immeasurables in English, which was on page 34. Two mantras. So let's say Chen Rezig's mantra 8 times and Green Tower's mantra 7 times, keeping in mind the people on the prayer list and those in your hearts and minds, the victims of the earthquake in Nepal. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Thank you. So the children are welcome to go to their classes.
Good morning. The Kadamba Center Kid Camp was very successful. I think it looks like everybody enjoyed very much. So just want to say, thank you from bottom of my heart, all the people who contributed for the Kid Camps, also organizers. So I just want to say thank you from bottom of my heart. So even though I was there only a couple of hours, but they had great time. So hopefully, every year it will be better. So, kids need to move around, So I think there's facility they rented this year, I think it's very good. There's all kind of activities the kid can do. So I think good to know. So that's the best way to teach. Then just calling them here, sit here. So they probably no will to listen, but let make them listen. I think. So just you know. So that's I think the best kid can also not just you know fun, but also they learn something very important. So I think that's the best way to teach. So I 100% support our center's kid camp, you know, even though I don't have kids, but so this is very important. I think it's very important. So so you never know, you know, what they, when they grow up, what they're going to be. Maybe they are, one of them are going to be the leader of the countries, you know. So then it's good to have some understanding of importance of compassion, loving kindness. It'll help them to lead the country, you know, in a better direction. So, so all the people who contributed for the kid camp, I really, really appreciate from the bottom of my heart, and all the people who organized that. So they learned something, not just that, no, they also had great time. No. So next time I hope there will be more people, you know, I think, will participate. So then can also give some break to the parents, you know. So if you don't have kids, you can still come. So then it's a beautiful place, and a beautiful place. So when I come back, I was eaten by what you call, I'm not sure what kind of bugs. So a couple of days I was really eating everywhere. So two years ago, the retreat at the Black Mountain retreat, outside the main like venue, there's no the stone fence. So we are all sitting, before Rinpoche comes, we are sitting, chatting. There's like tiny, tiny red, really red bugs. Tiny, what do you call, chicken? So I thought, oh, cute. I have no idea. A lot of people I'm talking, they have no idea. So, really cute, really cute. So then, you know, like after the teaching, everybody's just starting from me, I'm just eating. So, not, I don't know what happens. Eating here, eating there, you know, like take shower, don't help. Tune shower, that's cute things. That's the one. Anyway, so. Oh, yeah. So when you sit down, they're all over the place, you know, they're like, oh, they're cute. So the mantra that we just chant called Mani Mantra, so that's what I said this morning class, you know, the old class in the morning, early class. So I got this book about Mani Mantra, this six syllable mantras. So book that I got, like traditional Tibetan books, you know, long and back and forth. Looks like it has like close to 2,000 pages. I've been reading this, started to read this text. So far I only finished 20 pages out of probably 2,000 pages. So when I read, you know, this 2,000 pages all about this six syllable mantra. So Dharma King, the Tibetan, you know, Tibetan, we have many, many kings. So the one of the Dharma King called Sangtsen Kambo. So that's the one who invented this 16 guidelines that we teach in our kid program, 16 guidelines. He's the one who, like, you know, taught that. So he composed these books, you know, 2,000 pages. So when I'm reading that, you know, this is the coming of history, you know, how like the Mani Mantra has been invented, there's all this lot of questions answer got back and forth and benefit. So much benefit. It's like mind blowing, you know, like so easy to say. There's only six syllables of Mani Peneho, but there's so much benefit. You know, even just seeing, touching, wearing, there's so much benefit. So I was really, really happy that, you know, to have the text, you know, so then slowly when I finished reading, so I'll share, you know, it really kind of like inspired me to know, to talk more about money matter. Tibet, you know, every Tibetan people knows this mantra, every one of them. Even the kids, you know, we don't have a special class for kids. So they just learn from their parents and other people, they just learn, everybody. So Tibetan people, they are very, very devoted to Buddha Dharma, they are very devoted. So, but you know, their knowledge about Dharma is very limited, you know. Here in the West, you have more knowledge about Dharma than they do. But they are very, very devoted. So what they know Mani Mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. That's what they say, that's what they say, you know, with heart. So, then, you know, when we say here together, all the children, you know, that's the best way to help them. You don't need to say anything, they just say mantra, so they get benefit. So when you say, when someone else hear, when they hear, they get benefit. You don't have to say any word, they get benefit. So don't worry, it's going to make them Buddhist. Don't worry that when you hear this mantra, you become Buddhist, automatically Buddhist, not like that. So it benefits, you know, even the animals, when they hear it, get benefits. So wonderful. So easy to learn, you know, so little things could go wrong. That's how you say, Om Mani Padme Hum. That's exactly how you say, Om Mani Padme Hum. So then, many years I've been thinking, you know, maybe, you know, thinking to do some kind of day-long retreat here at the center. We just get together. So same mantra, money mantra, you know, money mantra. So so finally we did that, I think 2 months ago. We had one day money retreat. I was very, very happy. And the number of people from the center, they are, you know, reciting 1 million money mantra. So that makes me very happy, you know. So and some of them have some experience, you know. They have some surgery, shoulder surgery, you know, have some experience. I truly believe that's because of the money mantra. I truly believe that. So then you are the one who's saying it, then you get benefit. You know, you get benefit. Instead of hoping, oh, Gishila will say money mantra, then I will get benefit. That's not realistic way to think. Maybe slowly, you know, talk about something easy because your life is so busy in America. So busy. Not much time to practice. Kids, house, no bills, jobs. But this, you know, you can say, Om Mani Padme, you can say easily. It's not about the quantity, it's about the qualities, you know. So it's, you know, then what could go wrong? So very little thing could go wrong, you know. So maybe slowly. So some of you heard this story many times. I'll tell you anyway, so... Some of you already heard this part many times. So we have here one, like a long time ago, now she's, I don't know if she's doing some school, I'm not sure. One African-American young lady, she comes here, center, you know, very sweet, very, very sweet. She has 2 daughters. So she felt like that she needed to teach them how to say Mani Mantra or Mani Padme Hum. So then she's been teaching after their school, so no one would come tired in the evening. So then she will ask them to say Mani Mantra, they say Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum, Om Mani Padme Hum. Then she's doing something. Then one day she says, she listened carefully what they are saying. They are saying, Oh mommy, take me home. Oh mommy, take me home. I think, oh, that's like they invented a new Mani Mantra. American version of Mani Mantra, Oh mommy, take me home. very interesting mistake. You know, like interesting good mistake. Oh mommy, take me home. So I just want to say, so it sounds very much same, Oh mommy, take me home, mommy, take me home. So I'm not sure how the Oh mommy, take me home become Oh mommy, take me home. So there's a lot of benefit anyway. So then this morning, so we did some meditation. So so single-pointed meditation. Okay, we'll do single-pointed meditation. We begin the single-pointed meditations. So I asked this morning, I forgot one thing. So please, would you mind introduce to yourself, each other, introduce, then I'll continue my talk. I forgot, sorry. I completely forgot this morning class, I completely forgot. This morning I forgot. People enjoying that, people like that. No? Thank you very much. This morning, morning class, I completely forgot. Asking them to introduce each other. If you know somebody, it's much easier to show. It's much easier. If you already know someone, then that the process of going through some difficulties is much easier to, so separate and all of that easier. So this is the whole purpose of getting together here. So basically, it's all about service. Nothing else. It's all about service. No, it's not like come here to becoming something. And trying to believe in something. No, it's all about service. So in that regard, so I think it's good to know each other. So then it's easy to that's why they give name when they ask request prayer. They give piece of paper. They read 9 names. If you know the person, that name of the person, if you already know, then there's some kind of connections. There's kind of bridge. And it's much more effective, so that's why I asked you to introduce. So thank you very much. So then single-pointed meditation, okay? Single-pointed meditations. That's the one I started class in this morning. Single-pointed meditations. I think there's a difference between mindfulness meditation and single-pointed meditations. There's a difference. From my point of view, there's a difference. So mindfulness, being mindful what's happening around you, it gives you more opportunity to practice. So being mindful means, that you can be mindful with multiple objects. You can be mindful with the multiple object what's happening around you, multiple object. That's mindfulness. So that mindfulness gives you more opportunity to practice. So before we say, we think twice. Before we think, we think twice. Before we do, then we think twice. It gives you more space to act. Then it gives you more, space. It gives you more opportunity to act or action that bring the result which benefit both. That kind of result is give you more opportunity to practice. So then eventually, probably it may lead to calm mind, peaceful mind, mindfulness meditation. Okay, single-pointed meditation. So this mindful meditations may not necessarily bring temporarily calm mind, peaceful mind, may not bring. Maybe down the road it may help. The temporary benefit of mindful meditation is to give you more opportunity to practice. That's what I think. I'm not sure what you think. Huh? So the single point in meditation, this is temporarily or down the road, this is all designed to make your mind calm and peaceful. That's what it is. Single-pointed. What that means? Single-pointed means placing all our mental energy or attention on one single object. That is single-pointed meditation. Temporary benefit, calm mind, peaceful mind. Temporary benefit, then ultimate benefit, of course, same. Calm and peaceful mind. Ultimate benefit. Then there's probably mental pliancy. Do you understand? Okay, sometimes my pronunciation is not that good. Mental pliancy. Ultimate goal. Physical pliancy. Oh. Physically feel so light. Mentally, you know, so like calm. Ultimate. That's ultimate goal. Temporary. Single-pointed meditations. What is single-pointed meditation? Single-pointed meditation is to trying to place all our attentions on one single object. So if your interest about the single-pointed meditation is just temporary benefit, so then I think it's okay to change object. No, maybe fast changing object, you know, minute by minute, day by day, it doesn't matter. If your interest is just to temporary benefit, like temporary, I just want to make my mind calm and peaceful temporarily. I'm not worried about forever, you know. I'm not worried about ultimately. If your goal is, you know, to ultimate, you know, so then I think changing object is not good. So they say changing is not good, no? So because their ultimate goal is to, you know, to mental pliancy. That's the ultimate goal. So they should not change object. Oh, stick with one object. That's exactly the shamatha meditations, karma abiding meditations, which has 9 stages. If you're following their instructions, then probably not good to change object, no? That is whole goal is to reach that highest level of, you know, mental pliancy. So that's why there's 9 stages. If you're interested, or maybe I don't know, worry about them, just want to do temporary, then it's okay to change object, you know, to change object. Someday, chishi. So, so what we do, please choose one single object. It can be anything, anything. And place all your attention on that object, single object. Okay? It's too short. Huh? It's too short. For the beginner, short is better. Short than many. Short, many, better. When you become familiar, few, long. That's a skillful way to do single-pointed meditation. Single-pointed meditation. This is no different than visualization. Visualization may not necessarily single-pointed, no, but it requires strong concentrations to visualize something. So see, if you're visualizing something, that's like whole, like this comes with, you know, when they say sadhana, that means whole package of the practice that guides you. Visualize John. Oh, John is tall, you know, like handsome, hair, nose, small, big, whatever, you know, ear. The same idea, Tara, you know, visualize Tara, something. So you say, oh, how I visualize John. So first you visualize J, word J. So then J become John. The same idea, you know, thumb become Tara. The same idea, you know. So that kind of guides you to make your visualization more clear. And you say, oh, John, oh, wearing white T-shirt, you know, or then it gives you some kind of idea, you know, because we are very much vocal or visual. And here in the West, more very much visual. In Asia, very much vocal. Everything is taught by, there's no much, they're just taught by word, you know. So they hear very visual. So then there's like instruction that guides you. So then most of the time, the people, they memorize whole instructions. So they don't need books, you know. They can just say in their mind. And they just close their eye. Then they just say the word. Then there's visualizations. Does require strong concentrations, but I don't think that's single-pointed meditations. Single-pointed meditation, you're just thinking one object. Can be tree, can be flower, anything. So I just give you idea, you know, how to do single-pointed meditations. So, is this easy? No. Answer is no. Absolutely no. With effort, no? Without effort, nothing can be done. Nothing can be done with effort. With effort, yeah, you can make your mind calm and peaceful. With effort, you can make. Yeah, we all have desires, no? Like, since our birth, we have desires, no? But that's not good enough with effort. With effort, then you can say, from Buddhist point of view, you can achieve anything with effort. Even just, you know, cleaning your room, is it simple as that? No, is it simple or not simple? The place where I come from is simple because there's not much. There's not much. You only move one thing, two things, then that's all you have in the room. It's clean. So that the cleaning is probably become much more complicated in developing countries. There's so many things to move around. So anyway, even there, you know, so have desire to clean, but you just sit there, just visualize, oh, may this room will be automatically clean. When you open your eye, it's not clean. What happened? Yeah, because there's no effort. That's what happened. With effort. So, with effort. So, well, nothing can achieve without effort. With effort, definitely. It's not lack of clear instructions how to make my mind calm and peaceful. It's not lack of that. Yeah, instruction has been there a long, long time. What's lacking is effort, no? It's not just effort, no? We put effort in all kinds of things. No, this is not just effort. It's called joyful effort. No, joyful effort. So the question here, one question. So Somebody put a wonderful question here. How can we cultivate joyful effort? What are the causes conditioned for effort? So this is a very good question. How can we cultivate joyful effort? This is sometimes it requires word, you know. Just saying word, oh, I'm happy to do. You know, sometimes it helps, makes sense? It helps if you say, I'm happy to do, you know. So then, you know, otherwise, I don't know how to say, how can we cultivate joyful effort? So usually, you know, I myself, I say, I'm happy to do. I don't have to do. Nobody says I have to do. You know, then I'm doing it, so then I'm happy to do. Nobody says I have to do, you know, so happy to do, joyful effort, happy to talk. That's like effort that you put into talking, effort that you're putting into, you know, shopping, going out, seeing friends, cleaning house, cleaning your house. You know, see, here, so people are so educated, you know, everybody's very educated. So everybody felt like they have to do something meaningful, something productive, right? Maybe cleaning house is not productive. I'm not sure. Is it productive or not productive? Cleaning house? Huh? Meaningful? Is it meaningful? Oh, so I thought maybe that's, then maybe I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Maybe I thought people, they don't see it as productive or meaningful, so that's why people have no interest to clean their house. So then what is this? I'm not sure. What is this? I myself clean pretty well, you know. So, I always thought, you know, that here, development country, people don't see there's meaningful things to do, there's productive things to do. But maybe I'm wrong. So anyway. If people see it's not meaningful, then I think there's something to, from Buddhist point of view, there's something to contribute. Or you can make it meaningful. You can make it more productive. You know, just think, you know, just be mindful. You know, so then, yeah, so the being mindful. Now, in this case, being mindful, then this gives you opportunity to practice. Oh, so it's not just, you know, dust is dust of anger, jealousy, pride, the low self-esteem, all of that. You just think I'm cleaning that, so then that make more meaningful. That's from the Buddhist point of view. Oh. Anyway, so with effort, okay, with effort. You know, we need to put effort. If we really want to enjoy calm mind, peaceful mind, then it requires effort. No, so it's not just effort and joyful effort. So now the second part here, what are the cause and condition of effort? Qualities, you know. More you focus on the qualities, quality or benefit of concentration. What is the benefit of concentration? What's the quality of concentration? If you can really think about that, quality of that, then effort will be generated. Effort will be generated if you see the qualities and the benefit of that, you know, whatever that is. Say, let's say meditations. So benefit of doing meditations, benefit of doing single-pointed meditations, the quality of, you know, having strong concentration, quality of having strong concentrations. More, if you more focus on, if you think about that often, so that will generate effort. See, that will generate effort. So that's the cause and condition for effort from Buddhist point of view. So, single-pointed meditations. So, placing all our mental attention on one single object, that object can be anything, as I mentioned before, if you're just temporarily looking for calm and peace of mind, it's okay to change the object. Oh. So in that case, object can be anything. Oh. So then short, few, oh, short, you know, short, many, sorry, short, many, short period and many times. Oh. So then object, you know, some object that we use is just, you just choose some kind of mental image, or you can choose physical movement, or thought, that's more difficult, you know, so you can choose mind itself, you can choose that's the object, that's but more difficult. So then feeling, you can choose feeling, you can choose feeling. So then other object you can choose, you know, just place your attention, make sure that that mind is considered as elephant, make sure that elephant is tied to the object, make sure that's our job, tied to the object. So then mindfulness in this single pointed meditations, mindfulness is like rope. The mind is like elephant. Then with that rope, then you try to tie that elephant on that object that you imagine. So that's exactly how to be present. Be within yourself, be present, that's what it means, you know. Be present, be within, that's what it means. That's the first step. Nang tu jokpa. Be within. Look internal. Or no matter how different way you say, comes down the same point. Looking internally, being present, be within. This all like single object, and tie the elephant with the object with the rope, like mindfully tie that there. Make sure, say, 30 seconds, 1 minute, to make sure that elephant doesn't get out of that object. No, so you just tie there. And see, do you experience your mind's calmer? Yeah, it should be. So then slowly, first 30 seconds, maybe challenge, maybe 1 minute is not very, very challenge. Then when times pass, 1 minute is not the challenge. Then slowly you get better. Then you really enjoy, you know, mind, calm mind, peaceful mind. Then you are more relaxed. There's tremendous benefit for health. First of all, there's tremendous benefit for health. If you're always nervous, like anxiety, it's not good for health. And when your mind calm, peaceful, you know, it requires less energy. Energy consumption. So see, using external energy, too much external energy affects environment. Same. Using too much energy, your own energy, that also affects, you know. Then less energy, you know, and calm, then, you know, everything will be kind of like balance, you know. Internal element will be balanced, calm, you know, better blood pressure, you know. There's a lot of benefit, health benefit too. You know? And there's the good news, it's all organic. No need to pay anything, it's all organic. See, So then this is single pointed difference between mindfulness meditation and single pointed meditation. So single pointed meditation is just one object. Mindfulness meditation can be multiple objects. So then when you do single pointed meditations, then you face two challenges. One challenge, the elephant will you are having hard time just to catch the elephant. First, you know, just forget about tying that to object. It's hard to catch the elephant because the elephant is moving everywhere. There's another challenge. The second challenge is then elephant kind of gets sluggish, you know. Like that. Very visited. Sluggish, sinking, you know, it's not alert, afresh, it's not wide awake, you know. Anyway, some substance, when you people say, I don't have any experience. So anyway, some substance, people say, if you take, they can stay in one piece of leap. they can stay a long time. So this kind of single-pointed, but I'm not sure it's like wide awake. So single-pointed, that you have to be wide awake, you have to be really alert, you know. Absolutely, you are fresh, wide awake. It's not like that. So there's two challenges. One is like sinking mind, slowly kind of sink. Elephant kind of sink, you know, so then gets sluggish. And another one, faster one, is then gets too wild, you know, hard to just catch, you know. In that case, what do you do? So that's what I introduce, these two meditations. Then I would like to read something from here. If there's enough time. Tomasi, what time are you supposed to stop? So there's, what time? Now it's 11:28. 11:40. Oh, 11:40. Okay, there's some time here. So the first challenge, there's a method, there's different method. When you become desperate, so then you use this method. Okay, this is called forceful method. How to tackle that, you know, that moving elephant, that's running around, even though you tell that, okay, just think prayer, well, not one thing, all kinds of things, running around. How to tackle that forcefully. This is like when you become desperate, so then before that, there are some other method. So this is like, you sit, you know, straight, and breathe out, in, out in seven times. First, it begins with the seven times. So based on my little experiences, better to begin seven times. You know, it's better. Also, the text also did suggest seven times, and there's multiple number after that. I don't think those are quite important, you know. So, and I already explained the Chukila. If you really want to know exact number according to the exact text, ask Chukila. If you don't have a Chukila, I already told her exact number according to the text. You know? So if you want to know, so also that's good to know. So then, then if you suggest someone to look at the text, they will find exact the same. So then good to know. Now from my personal point of view, you know, those number and I think, you know, I'm not sure it's important or not important. So what is important is to do. That's most important. So begin the seven. Exhale, inhale, one. Exhale, inhale, two. Each time when you inhale, count. Exhale, inhale, that's three. We'll do seven times. At the end, we all hold our breath. Then imagine energy that's going down is white. White, round. Go, let it go all the way, four finger below your navel, and hold there, and focus on that. So this is called forceful method, how to tackle this wandering, you know, elephant or mind, okay? Understood? Yeah. Seven times. First, exhale, then, probably better to sit, you know, like if you're sitting, it's better to probably sit like this, I think it's much better. again, please, sorry. you can do this multiple times and see if that helps to mind to keep moving, and then go back to Singapore meditation. If that's the only challenge, then go back to Singapore meditation. Then just imagine again your image, whatever image you are imagining, then just go back there. So this is called forceful method, okay? Forceful method. So another one, so second one, so the thinking mind. See, you know, when you meditate, and all of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden. So I have a lot of experience of thinking mind. I have a lot of experience of thinking mind, many years of thinking experience of thinking mind, not single pointed meditations. Not with a single point of meditation, thinking mind, no? Monastery is like day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, you're just sitting, you know, like, can you imagine, like, just doing that, like, 30 years? No? So then how good you become thinking mind? How much you experience thinking mind, monastery? 2 o'clock in the morning, very cold weather, you know, everything's packed. It's not like here, and here you have gap, there everything's packed. Each line has 100 monks. There are like probably like 25 lines there. Each line all packed, you know. Kind of cold, there's no heat. So they said, amazing. You learn how to take nap. First of all, you learn how to take nap. Not the meditation, nap. If you lean back, you'll flip, because there's another line to hundreds of people, you know, between this gap. So they come, they serve tea, you know. If you flip over, then you flip over with all the teas, you know, with the cups. then you take shower in the butter tea. See, then not just that, then the discipliners walks around, discipline walks, looking, who's talking, who's sleeping, walking. No. If they find out they come with you very gently, then everybody look at your face. They know that you are napping. I heard not in India, in Tibet, I heard, you know, because there's no light. Some corners very dark, the discipliners have come with a lamp, you know, to see. And there's a young monk, they put butter on their ear. They put both butter on their ears. When the discipliner comes, cannot catch. I heard. In Tibet, I heard. Never saw, I heard Tibet, you know. I myself never put butter here. But anyway, so... You know, but year after year, you know, like sometimes it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, then every day it's like five, that's the minimum, five. Then sometimes like 2 o'clock in the morning, it's like week long, every day, 2 o'clock in the morning, then you go there, you know. Then you learn like how to take best nap in the most difficult positions. If the monks are a newcomer, then you can see. You know? Then these are newcomers, you know, they don't know how to take them. When you see somebody is like exactly that, that's experienced one like me. It looks like it's not meditating. I'm serious, it's not meditating, it's just napping. That's like many years of hard work. many years of hard work of meditation. Then once a while, you know, maybe your person right next to you, or they're like, snore, then you wake up. You just know something going on. He just wakes up. You know. Amazing. You know, like most difficult positions, you can get best nap. So I think if there are any competitions, the monks will win that competition. So I don't think in America anybody knows how to take nap. Like. So like very competitive. Sometimes, you know, having a hard time sleep, wondering like, very nice bed, how come you cannot sleep? You used to sleep like this. So what does one do? Anyway, Yeah, so the one most experienced one, they won't move at all. Then the death newcomer. Like go like this, no, then go like this, the newcomer. So that's called thinking mind, no thinking mind. So then when you there's something else you can do, because when we are putting effort on single point in meditation, there's two challenge. First one is just to challenge to catch the elephant. Second, you already catch the elephant, but now the elephant is not alert, not awake. You know, it's kind of sluggish. You know, so in that case, what do you do? Another method where you just stand up. You know, just look around. Look, you know, the room is a little bit dark. Turn on the light. Think about maybe sunshine or moonshine, or maybe just look at trees. Then maybe put some water. Come back. Still doesn't help. So then this is called forceful method. Okay. Forceful method, and there's two forceful methods. One is how to tackle with the wandering mind. One is how to tackle with the thinking mind. This is a forceful method. This is called lung sim damga da seve damga mi lung sim. That's like mind and energy. Lung sim namka. That's space, deep space. No, just here, deep space. No, crystal clear sky. That's what it is. Namka. No? Same is mixing. Thought and energy with the deep space. Dhamma, that's instructions. So in these meditations, there's no breathing. You just sit. Imagine, shaped like egg, shaped like egg, white light, shaped like egg. Towards navel, not below, above, towards navel. Just imagine. That is thought. That is your thought. That is your thought. Just think that's my thought. Oh. No, just imagine. There's no breathing. Just imagine that. So then, once you get a glimpse of that image, then say the word pe. Pe. Can you say pe? Oh. Strong, you know, strong. The instructions say, suggest strong. Because pe, then the power of the word syllable shoots up this egg, shaped like egg, they shoots up from here all the way to deep in the space. Then you just think about that, you know, then becomes inseparable with the clear sky. That's all you're thinking. That's the forceful method. So we'll do it together, okay? I don't think anybody does single point meditation to walk. I don't think. So otherwise, your co-worker may jump out of the chair if you say word pay. So the word needs to be said loud. Okay? This is important. Then the power of the syllables, they shoots up the energy deep into the sky. Then what do you think? If you're having a hard time, just imagine when you go to the park, you know, here you are so fortunate. You have many, many beautiful park. You know? It's not like Taruru country, you have beautiful park in a very clear sky. Sometimes there's no cloud. You just lay down there, look up. What do you see? It's just clear sky. Exactly like that. When you meditate after that word pe, that's exactly what you're thinking. So then that will help. Then go back to no single point of meditation. So then benefit. Single point of meditation, temporary benefit, ultimate benefit is calm mind. Ultimate benefit is mental pliancy. Temporary benefit is makes your mind calm, peaceful. Someday, when you think about the teaching of six perfections, you know, perfection number five is concentrations. The perfection number six is wisdom. wisdom liberates, you know. Wisdom frees. Wisdom liberates, not just simple desire. We all have desires. So then how come that we are not overcome from all the complications? Because wisdom. No wisdom, no relief, no liberation. So no concentrations, no calm mind, no peaceful mind. No, that's all. That's all. No, nothing more, nothing less. No, you don't have to believe in something to do concentration meditations. You don't have to believe in anything. You can just do concentration meditation. So you don't need to believe in anything to generate wisdom. Wisdom, you don't have to believe anything. Wisdom is to liberate yourself from complications. Oh, see, complication. Everything's come with the complication. Everything, no, everything. Life, the friendship, oh, nice looking sofa that you just bought, you know, it's come with the complication. No, friendship, no, family, the car, job, everything's come with the complication. Everything's come with the complications. That's why it's called samsara. So we should not make more complicated. We should not make our life more complicated because it's already complicated. No, it's already complicated. See, so everything has come with the complications. So it's like just to understand that it's greatly benefits. No, otherwise there's unrealistic expectations. No, nothing is perfect in samsara. Nothing is perfect. Nothing. It's perfect. Everything comes with complications. Cat, you know, like dog. So once you desire to have, want to have cat, you know, it comes with a complication. Hair, nail, toilet, what is it? No toilet, what is it?
Litter box.
I have experience because I used to own cat. I have experience, you know, it comes with complications. So when you go to someone else's house, then you see one nice cute little cat, kind of cuddling on their lap. I say, wow, that's very nice, you know. You are only seeing similar pictures. You are not seeing whole pictures. You know, when you get, then it comes the whole picture. You know, just that picture comes the whole pictures. So then you know how complicated it is to cut nail. This is complicated, you know, case. So the getting the right, how you say, right clippers, you know, all kind of advertisement, buy this, buy that, you know, all kind of, then brush, you know, all kind of, so then all kind of mindset, you know, same, all complications, so everything, buying a brand new sofa, leather sofa, come with the complications. First complication, you don't spend enough time on there. Anyway, so wisdom. So, probably months ago at the retreat, we did one day retreat. Somebody gave me this, maybe person's here, the squirrel feet. Squirrel, where you can feed the squirrel. Yeah, made. And front is glass, you can see. When they eat, you can watch, you know, glass. So I put it up there, you know, trees, you know. There's two. It's only one nail. I put one extra nail there to make it. No, then put bird seed there. Put a bird seed. And first complication that relates to the mind is not seeing squirrel there. That's first complications. Not seeing squirrel there. How come that they are not coming? So then I thought maybe they need bridge. So then I put some bridge, small bridge. Some piece of wood, I put it there to the hole. There's two holes, you know, two holes. So then I put the one. Then Stephanie came. She said, "What is that?" I said, "The bridge." She just laughed. The squirrel don't need bridge, Gila. I said, "So true." But the second day, the bridge is going down. So, anyway, so then the father, you know, like kind of like, what is it called? Is it anxiety not to see? What is it, anxiety? Is it anxiety not to see squirrel there? Is it anxiety? Yeah, that's complication. So then when you see squirrels, then you can't enjoy, look there, no, to eat. So then Prabhupada put this lot of sunflower seed. You know, when they eat, you know, then after that couple of days, it's all shell. So they don't clean. No, they don't clean that. So then now you have to clean. So now that thing's all the nail. Can't open. There's nothing can do. There's no. My hand is too big to go inside. So I have desire to clean, but that's not good enough. So I need wisdom. So now there's no enough wisdom. So I'm thinking, okay, how do I really then, you know, kind of like then kind of irritated. So you can say, okay, just relax, and you know, you don't have to clean right now. You can put someone there, but this thing won't happen. You know, it's just, oh, I want to clean right now. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I should bring the vacuum cleaner for the clean. Then that's too complicated, too time consuming, then nothing. So then I just twist it. And fortunately it doesn't break the things, you know, then I'm able to, so far, so good. So then I untie the nail a little bit, so then I put it back. So then, you know, so then hesitate to put flower seed. Now it's empty now, right now it's empty. I'm not sure what to put inside, but you know, sunflower seed, then they'll do the same thing again. Then I have I need another wisdom to deal with the complication. See, everything, even though you enjoy it, you can come with the complication. Amazing. So what we need. So we need wisdom. We need wisdom, you know, not just desire. We need wisdom, no wisdom. So then wisdom is the product of knowledge. No knowledge, no wisdom. Mm-hmm. So we need to think. Oh. So then I would like to read something from here. So then I'll stop. For this one. No matter how hard the past. No matter. You can always begin again. So this is very helpful. For me, it's very helpful. Usually, this is worldly much, the way they word is much better than I usually say. You know, I say, rather than thinking of what I cannot do, and good to think of what I can do, you know. Oh, 10 o'clock is so, you know, so I have some kind of problem here, there, but 11 o'clock, I can, you know, begin. I can begin again. Every moment, you know, so that's very helpful. Like, normally we all have, you know, so many things happened in the past. So many things. Some of the things that doesn't make sense at all why it happens. You don't have no clue, but it happens, you know. So make sure that we don't just get, you know, caught up with all this past memory. We need to move on. Because we are human. Oh, we can think. See, we can think. Even the animals, they move on too. No, see, so they work so hard to build nests. They lay eggs, then they have chicks. You know, they bring food all day long, back and forth. All of a sudden, the chicks have not been eaten by something, or maybe all the chicks will grow up. They separate, no power, they don't know, they just move on. So we as a human, so we definitely have to move on. You know, we can just stuck in our past memory. So we all, you, me, we all have, you know, as a human, we all have this, you know, experience in the past, you know, hard past. Hard past. Hard past. No matter how hard the past. Does that make sense? Well, you can always be. So the way I said it, like, this is the word much better. But the way I said it, instead of thinking what I cannot do, think what I can do every moment. You know, then there's something new. This, you know, I just want to share this. You know, it helps me quite, you know, quite a bit. The second one. Buddha was asked, what have you gained for meditations. He replies, nothing. However, let me tell you what I've lost. This is good, you know. Anger, anxiety, depressions, insecurity, fear of old age and death. That's what he lost. So it's not always a gain. So this is very true because I witness, you know, I witness many, many human beings in my monastery, in my lifetime. Oh, somebody who has no fear, zero fear about old age and death at all. No fear at all. No fear. Old age, no fear. There are many, many of them, but no fear of death. So this, that I see that, you know, some of them, they really lost fear of, you know, old age, death. So I witnessed it many times. So then, you know, anger, yeah, anxiety, depression, insecurity, all of that, you know. So that's one thing I just want to share. So, so then last one I did not share at the last first class because there's no first class. Not the first this morning class, not the first class, AC class, not the first class. No. So this something that I'm not sure how much my sister, she believes in karma, I'm not sure, but she sent it, she just posted it. I just found it very interesting. You want me to read this? And then I'll stop. Okay. Then no more to read. When a bird is alive, it eats ant. It eats ants. When the bird is dead, the ant eats the bird. Time and circumstance can change at any time. Don't devalue or hurt anyone in life. You may be powerful today, but remember, time is more powerful than you. Then it goes, no, I cannot read my own handwriting. Hold it. So, one tree make up millions of matchstick. Only one matchstick needed to burn a million trees. So be good and do good. So I think, you know, this is like. So I, you know, I collect those things, you know, then I read. Even though it's not from, you know, here, so it doesn't matter. It helps your mind. Long as it helps your mind, that's what is important. I don't think this is taught by some Buddhist matter. So when I read, it helps. It opens my mind, and it helps me to think. So then, you know, it's very good. So just want to share it with you. So then with that, I'll stop my class here. So then, we have something to say about Venerable. So Venerable, yeah, he could be Venerable too. So I'm not sure. Our SBC, Sarah, she's going to New Zealand and she's leaving. She's leaving soon. So I want to say thank you for all her wonderful work here at the center, many years. So you all know, you know, working for organization is not easy. You know, all the challenges they want to go through so that we may not see, but you know, so much sacrifice has been made all those years, so for the center. So just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, all the work that she did for the center. So I wish best of the best of everything for her live in New Zealand. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, Geshe-la.
So then, Sarah, please come here. I have one kata here, so I just want to offer this kata. So then I promise her to take to lunch, so I'm going to take her lunch. Yeah. I promise, you know, it never happened now, but it will happen soon. Yeah. So kata, this is like traditional Tibetan kata. So when you first time, when you meet someone, you offer that. Before you say any word, no? What they symbolize? This symbolize, my meeting with you is, this symbolize your heart. And you are saying my heart is, has the purest, as my heart is white as this kata. This white, you know, so then whatever you do after that, then you're saying this all doing out of this pure intention. So yeah, Sarah, thank you very much. So then lunch will come soon. Oh yeah, what's this? Tanga. Oh yeah. Yeah, thank you for all your service. Yeah, thank you. So now Dr. Watling will say something.
Well, I think anything I have to say after that will be afterthought. But I think it's important to remember, with everything that goes on here at Kadampa Center, the spiritual program and the people who are following the path and putting into practice the wishes of our teachers, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Lama Zopa Rinpoche, Geshe Gelug, and Geshe Sampo. That's what Kadampa Center is about. Okay. So the spiritual program is the heart and the core of Kadampa Center. And organizing and managing the spiritual program is incredibly important to the success of the center. And I think we all rejoice in the wonderful work that Sarah Brooks has done over the past, how many years? Can you remember? Yeah. The past 25 years. Yeah, no. But for quite a significant period of time. And she's really, she's an iceberg. 15% of her work we see here at the center. 85% is behind the scenes. She's been an incredible representative for Kadampa Center within the FPMT, our spiritual organization that we're part of, going to meetings, learning from them, bringing that back to Kadampa Center, and also sharing with them what has been successful here, and really has really increased the reputation of Kadampa Center within the FPMT to an enormous event. And we also have to acknowledge her work organizing and managing the Light of the Path retreat, which in and of itself would be a full-time job. So there's just so much to be thankful for and to rejoice in. She created so much good karma here. It's just fantastic. Now, we're working very closely with the Embassy of New Zealand in Washington, D.C. to delay the processing of her visa. But she will be leaving shortly. But today we just want to rejoice in all the positive energy and the positive imprints that she's left here at Kadampa Center. We'll be having refreshments outside, and there are cards that you can sign and express your gratitude. And please speak to Sarah, and we just say thank you. And the last thing she wants is any more physical objects to carry with her. Her life has been a nonstop yard sale for the past month. So in her honor at our Mother Monastery at Kopan outside Kathmandu, we'll be sponsoring the four mandala of Chittimanatara Puja and also the 21 praises of Tara, which is especially appropriate because Sarah's done so much work to get Tara practice going here at Kadampa Center. Thank you.
So thank you, Robbie, for the opportunity to serve, because without you, I wouldn't be here. And, I feel like I get too much credit because so much of this was put into effect before I even got here. So my predecessors like Julie Jones and Venerable Tendrin, I learned everything from them and really was just following in their footsteps. So I can't think of anything more meaningful to do than to serve my Dharma Center and Geshe-la, and I'm happy that at least I'll be continuing that work with another FPMT center, so I'm not leaving the family at all. But I will definitely miss everyone and appreciate all your kind thoughts. So thank you.
May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of my merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with the mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. May the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, the weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness, and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be freed from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. Om tare tu tare tu re so ha. 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 Om tare tu tare tu re so ha.